Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Role Playing Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan, I'm your host. I'm here today with Chris Dane Owens and Jason Schultz. They wrote, starred, and directed the brand new movie Empire Queen, The Quest for Magic.
Golden Age of Magic.
I knew I was going to screw it up. Briefly introduce yourselves and tell our listeners, our viewers, who you are.
Sure. Hi, I'm Chris Dane Owens, and I'm one of the stars and co-director, co-writer of the project.
And Jason Schultz, the other star, co-director, co-writer of the project.
So how'd you guys start working together?
Well, Jay and I worked together first on these projects was my music video, Shine On Me, which we did a number of years ago. And I was just finishing my album and I wanted to do something that reflected my love of fantasy. And our motif was, can we do a music video that looks like the trailer to a $100 million fantasy film? And we came up with Shine On Me. It did incredibly well for us. Internationally and domestically, and then we did a second follow-up, which is called Lightspeed, and that did equally well, and a lot of fans were saying, this should be a movie. This looks like a movie. What is this? And even a big Hollywood agent contacted us, said, well, we'd like to try to help you. That didn't manifest. Cut 2 years later, we linked up with a great executive producer, Kiki Coral, who was able to help guide the project, and we found additional funds, and here we are with a movie, finished film.
That's amazing. How did you two, I mean, like, you know, how's the partnership working together? What's that like? You want to talk about that?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, we have a lot of similar sensibilities. We both enjoy the fantasy, action, adventure, that type of a thing in those genres. And so when Chris and I originally started just kind of goofing originally with just concepts and, you know, short films, and we realized that we have a really great synergy working together with a lot of the same sensibilities and goals and ambitions for our lives. And so when we latched on to this project and universe that, as Chris mentioned, was originally from a music video that he conceived of, then we just went full in on into the development of that, and it was just always teamwork from the very beginning.
Okay, when you talk about your love of fantasy, where does that come from?
Well, you know, I have a father that's in the entertainment industry, Gary Owens, from Rona Martin's Laugh-In.
Space Ghost.
Yeah, and he, you know, when you have a dad that plays Space Ghost and Roger Ramjet and Powdered Toast Man, you can't help but get influenced by the fun of it all, the fantasy of it all. And my father loved art, too, so he was a great inspiration to me. I think I grew up around fantasy. So when films like The Lord of the Rings and The Golden Compass and...
Princess Bride,
and Narnia came out. I was just glued to it. I was right there, ready for it, and excited. And so, the idea of making a movie within our own universe was very appealing to us.
So, how'd you go about creating the universe? So, who wants to take that?
That would be Chris's. Okay. Comes right out of Chris's mind.
I would say that when we were first doing the Shine On Me video, I started storyboarding and I started creating characters. I wanted angels, and I wanted witches, and I wanted a nautical character for Jay, and mine was a knight. And it's a hodgepodge mix of a lot of different genres, if you will. And it just appealed to me. I can only tell you that it felt right to do this. And once we had the ideas, then we started costuming and casting the characters. Mm-hmm. And then everybody fit within the universe we wanted to create.
Yeah, so Chris created this template. And then I joined in with my sensibilities of, okay, this is what we're starting with here. And then we just really fleshed it out in the feature phase in particular to, you know, add characters, add sceneries, concepts, images, villains, dragons, all these types of things. So it really, really grew as we jumped into the feature side of it.
But I will say this, fans of the music videos can see how we contextualize what they'd already seen in the music videos into the film. We really try to embrace the fan following and give them an answer to how does this universe work? How does it all fit together?
You're a musician and you've been playing music for a long time. I noticed when watching the film that there was really just a score running through the whole thing. It was there as powerful, had a theme to it. What was your approach to bring that score to the film?
We got very lucky. Very early on, before we even finished with the film, we were contacted by a wonderful composer named Nicholas Repetto. And Nick is an orchestral composer, and he said, I need to do your guys' movie. And we have over 2 hours of original orchestral music. It's a 80-piece orchestra, a choir, and it was all Nick's composition, and it was recorded in Budapest, Hungary. And our film is literally wall-to-wall music, and it's a character in the film, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't be happier with the result of the music because, you know, we listened to Nick's sample tracks, you know, getting to know him and what his capabilities were. You know, we used a lot of temp tracks and stuff originally, and you just get used to hearing your scenes with the temp track, whether it's the right track or not. But then when we substituted that with Nick's music composed specifically for these scenes, I couldn't have been more blown away by it because it took on a new life of its own. It became Empire Queen music specifically with themed, you know, character, orchestral pieces and so forth. You know, and Nick went the distance. I mean, we had the strings out of Budapest, Hungary, the horns out of L.A., the choir out of Maine. And it was a composite of all of these elements that Nick just beautifully wove together to make the Empire Queen soundtrack.
Yeah, it was. I found when watching it was really ever present. And you know, with a lot of modern movies, you see there's a lot more kind of a ambient type tracks, drones, things like that. And this was really just a live orchestra through the whole thing. That's a lot of music for a 2.5 hour movie.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's really a in your face, upfront character in the film, an Indiana Jones type of score, which is what we really wanted.
We haven't really talked about the story movie. So if you could go into the story, the storyline of the movie, what kinds of viewers would be drawn to this type of story and the overall tone you're going for with this movie?
Sure. We wanted to make, I guess, what we would call a family-friendly film. In other words, it's available to everybody. And we wanted it to be adventurous and heroic and even romantic. And so we felt like if we pulled in those themes that we love, as filmmakers, we would find our audience, which we feel is a broad audience. Certainly fantasy film fans have really rallied and supported us, but we feel like it's even broader than just genre picture fans, that anybody could enjoy our film.
You know, and we also made it a point to weave in a bit of lighthearted comedy. You know, we don't take ourselves too completely seriously in this one. We wanted to have something that was easily consumable and... yeah, just lighthearted, good fun all the way around. Swashbuckling, romance, fantasy adventure, dragons, mythical things, you know, it's all in there. You know, we are an homage to a lot of the elements that people love about fantasy.
Yeah. I felt, too, if folks are familiar with the series Galavant on television, I got a little bit of that vibe without the Broadway music aspect of it. But it's, you know, we're lighthearted and didn't take itself too seriously.
That's
so
right. Yeah, we embraced that tone. We thought that was the right way for us to go.
Now let's talk about the other your co-stars in the movie. So who would you like to highlight?
Oh, gosh, well, first of all, we got so lucky with C.L. Post, who's our main star in the film. She was in the first music video and the second. She is a delightful actress to work with, super talented, really fun to work with, and we just consider her to be a wonderful friend as well, don't we, Jay?
Yeah, well, I mean, talk about having your Disney princess. That is CL all the way through. And conversely, we also have our Disney villain with Mary Elise Hayden, who plays Queen Gwendolyn. Both of them super strong actresses, right at the top of our billing that we can point to and say, wow, we have such a powerful cast of women leading this movie in so many regards. And Chris and I pale in comparison to what those ladies can deliver on screen. And they helped raise the bar for everybody on set. And so, you know, we're so thankful that both of them are included. And they just make the whole project shine a bit more, no pun intended, than what we could have ever hoped for.
So let's talk about locations a bit. The locations were gorgeous. So how did you go about scouting for those?
Well, interestingly, let's see. We shot in Portland first. That was one of our first locations. And that really gave us the whole tone for the film. It felt like Middle Earth to us. The forests, we filmed by the ocean. We filmed in caves. And that was, once we had that in the can, so to speak, we said, okay, we now know where we're headed. Then we went to the snow, and we filmed underwater at three more caves where we had to lower gear by ropes.
It was a beautiful mansion that we used as a double for a palace. So we got very resourceful, and the team, you know, contributed to a lot of the effect finding of where we could potentially go. And surprisingly enough, outside of Portland, most of it was shot within about a 5-mile radius in the valley of LA. And there's such diverse topography there. You'd be surprised how many caves are in the valley of LA. And in the spring, when the rains come, everything turns, you know, green and it's lush. And so it looks like New Zealand. So we were able to take the audience to such diverse locations simply by shooting in the right season in particular places.
That's great. So let's talk about your characters a little bit. Jason, I want to start with you.
Okay.
Your character, horrible, horrible things happened to your character. You spent a lot of time in the water. How was? Tell us about your character and tell us about how it was, like kind of getting into that character and kind of going through some of the things that, your character went through.
Yeah, so Captain Montgomery Sterling is definitely rough and tumble, almost drowning, getting hung upside down in a tree, rolling off rocks after being run through with a cave phantom. So yeah, he's a little bit of the solo character on his own, just kind of mixing it up with a lot of different elements. So it was fun. That it was a character that somewhat evolved as he went. Honestly, the tumble off of the rock was not intentional, but it worked. My arm was sore for about a year and a half after that one. Yeah.
And how about you?
Yeah, so Jade Cross, I mean, he was invented in the music video. But then it was like, because it's silent, it's like, well, what do I sound like? And what does he do? And what, you know, what's my action? He evolved as well. I knew that I wanted he and CL to be the romantics in the film. And that our banter together would guide a lot of the storytelling. And I just had fun playing him. And of course, I'm the narrator of the film as well. So that gave us a really great theatrical tool or cinematic tool to kind of guide the storytelling.
Which we did, by the way, win a Telly Award for, the narration.
That's right. That's right. I was very honored by that. And so it was really fun to play him. I look forward to playing him again. We're hoping we get a sequel out of the project. And, we want to take people, we want them to see beautiful places and have fun things happen there.
So speaking of awards, we are at Gen Con 2024 in Indianapolis, and you just won an award at the Gen Con Film Festival. How's that feel?
It was great. We won the Best Picture Award, which is their top one here, and that's a real honor. We didn't really set out to be a festival film. We've only entered a few, and we've actually won more than half that we've entered so far. So that's wonderful, and we're very honored by it. And this is our crowd in a way. The gaming world, the fantasy world, these are our people. So we're very privileged to be here.
As far as gaming goes, have you ever done any tabletop role-playing, throw the dice, anything like that?
Yeah, as a kid, I played with Dungeons & Dragons a little bit, but it wasn't like a huge predominant theme. I was more on the video game side of things growing up, but definitely have an appreciation for that. And our actress, CL, made a cute little quip. It was like, hey, can they make a Chutes and Ladders for Empire Queen? It's like, so we'd be happy with a Chutes and Ladder version of this.
You joke, but if you walk through the hall over there, a lot of the board games and even role-playing games are based off of movies and television IP. There's, you know, Witcher games and any kind of flavor. So if you catch the right person, you might be able to make that happen. So if you want it to happen, then let it happen. But I just did want to mention, I saw in your bio that you spend a good part of your time in Stockholm.
Yeah, that's right. I have a lot of family history connections there. On both sides of my family, my grandmother on my father's side and my grandfather on my mother's side were both full Swedish. They were first-generation Americans. It was their parents, my great-grandparents, who came over. And it was, as a youth, one of our cousins, my dad's second cousin, came over to visit us when she was a teenager. And so I heard this was a relative and a cousin, but she had a funny accent. And it's like, wow, what is this? This is interesting. We come from someplace else. So after college, I did my obligatory trip to Europe and decided, of course, I'll go visit my cousins in Sweden, because several of them came several times before I had my chance to visit them. And once I got there, man, that country just hit me in the right spot in the right way. And I began a love affair with Sweden. I've been back over 35 times.
Now, a 2.5-hour movie, that seems incredibly ambitious. So was that something you're shooting for, something that epic and that detailed, or is it just you just ran out of things that you wanted to cut?
Certainly it wasn't intentional to go 2.5 hours.
That's right. We thought we might be making a series as well at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we would have, you know, 6 episodes, installments, but we cut it initially as a feature, and we all liked it so much and felt the flow was there and that the pacing was high. And we didn't really want to cut much. There's a lot of side stories, but we do world building. And the comments we've gotten so far is like, it's the fastest 2.5-hour movie I've ever seen. It moves at a nice clip. It's very entertaining. And so a lot of the films that we like that are in this genre are that length. Harry Potter's are all that length or longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings are all that length or longer. So because we're in that genre, we felt that people could handle it, that they would welcome it.
And honestly, if we had made a 6-part miniseries out of it, people would have watched all 6 episodes in one shot anyway and binged it.
Yeah.
So we just thought, like, let's just keep it all together.
Yeah, that's how people watch TV these days.
That's right.
Totally guilty of that here. What's next for you guys? You're talking about maybe doing a follow-on?
Yes, we're on this press element of what we're doing, and the film will be on iTunes and Google Play and Vudu shortly. We're on Prime Video right now, and Vimeo OTT, which is great for international exposure. And, you know, we'll be saturated globally shortly in terms of its the ability to see the film. And I'm sure there'll be more promotion aspects to it. And the goal would be just to go into production on a second one. And I think we could do that. We wouldn't take as long as we did to make this first one, because we learned a lot in the process, a lot about what we like to do, how to quicken the process. And so we could be in production in, you know, 6 months, and we'd love to make a sequel.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, we're filmmakers, video producers at heart. So, I mean, I do other projects as well, like shoot music videos and interviews, corporate videos and such like that. So, you know, there's always some sort of production element going on. Mm-hmm. But obviously the focus right now is what can we do with Empire Queen, the Golden Age of Magic right now, and then just see where that leads us.
Are any closing thoughts for us?
You know, you just always want to thank your team when you do something like this, because you do not do it alone. It takes a small army. We have a wonderful editor in Jennifer Barlow, a great executive producer in Kiki Coral, Jano Janosik, who is our villain, Lord Voss, did a great job. Two villains, that's right. You know, there's so many people that we want to thank and appreciate because we want to take...
Courtney, Uncle Rumpleton. Fantastic. Yeah. A cabinet maker who plays a wonderful, warm-hearted Santa Claus, if you can see when you watch the film.
He
has got a wonderful annual routine of going out and bringing a lot of joy and cheer to the children during Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's it for me more than anything. It's just to thank our team for helping us get here. We share this award here now with them, with everybody, and we look forward to a bright future in the project.
Yeah, and everybody was equally important to this process, because we had a very tight, small core team. Very small, and I don't think people would understand based on what we were able to produce visually of how lean we really ran this operation. So if we had lost any one of these team members, the film would fall apart in some respects. Matt Berlow, a longtime colleague of ours, was just on it every day running... pulling the focus and getting the camera gear and so forth. So if we had lost Matt, you know, we wouldn't be able to have achieved what we did. So to Chris's point, every team member we have to thank and share this award with them, because without them, we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, we love our team.
That's great. I think that's a great closing thought. I really want to thank you for spending some time with us and with our viewers and listeners.
Thank you, Nathan. It's great meeting you, and thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and we're thankful to any fan that wants to come, you know, check it out and see what Empire Queen has to offer them and their household.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, everybody.